It's time for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Len Levinson and directed by Max Hutto. Let's listen to Fibber and Molly for a moment before we get into our story.
McGee, if you happen to be downtown tomorrow, there's a sale on at the Bon-Ton.
Whoop, whoop, hold it, kiddo. Isn't there a safer way to save money than bargain hunting?
There is. If you're thinking about the Prudential's new low-cost preferred whole life plan.
I'm thinking about it, Molly. And I admit if people want more family protection for their life insurance dollar, the preferred whole life plan is for them. It's really low cost. And to qualify, you just have to be between the ages of 21 and 59, in good physical shape, in a non-hazardous occupation, and need $10,000 or more of additional life insurance.
And when we say Prudential's preferred whole life is low cost, we mean it.
Particularly when you think about what this plan will provide. Income for the family if something happens to Dad, or if things go okay, money toward a carefree, independent retirement for Mom and Pop.
How about seeing your Prudential agent tomorrow? He'll be glad to show you how to make your family's future more secure through the Prudential. The company with the strength of Gibraltar.
Mr. and Mrs. McGee have been invited to the home of the wealthy Mrs. J. Manville Whitney for a committee meeting tonight. What committee? Why are they on it? Who knows? Not the McGees, because listen.
And that's all I know about it, McGee.
Hmm.
I asked Mrs. Whitney for more details, but she said, "My dear, when you and that amusing husband of yours arrive tonight, you will find out what it's all concerned with."
Well, I hope it ain't concerned with donating a couple of years' salary to one of her pet causes. Well, we'll find out in a few minutes. It's cold. I hope they got a good roaring fire in the fireplace for me to toast my toes on while they tell
now,
me.
Now, just a second, McGee. Before we get to that house, you've got to promise.
Okay. I won't take my shoes off unless Mrs. Whitney says to me, "Make yourself at home."
You won't take your shoes off, period. And when the butler lets us in, you won't try to sail your hat onto the hat rack and then ask the butler for a cigar if you make it.
You're trying to take all the fun out of the whole evening.
No, I'm serious, McGee. Just because Mrs. Whitney has a billiard room in her home, that doesn't mean you're to act like you're in a pool hall.
Okay. I know how to behave. My gosh. You talk like you expected me to set fire to the creep Suzette's or something.
Well, that's one thing I hadn't thought of.
Well, don't worry. I'll be the apex of politeness.
Good.
Well, here we go up the hill, kiddo. And I'd give a year's growth of beard to know why we're invited to serve on Mrs. Whitney's committee and why she asked us.
Why you invited Dr. Gamble, but for the life of me, Mrs. Whitney, I can't see why you asked the McGees to serve, especially him.
Oh, he's the one I particularly want.
McGee?
Exactly. Moving into the new library building in a week or so, naturally, we require an open house committee.
Yes.
But before we open, we must move. And you know how expensive moving can be, don't you, Mr. McDonald?
Yeah, do I? Half the loans we make down at the bank are so people can move. I can't say I see the connection between that and McGee yet.
By putting him on the committee, we get out of him at least a week of good, hard, manual labor for that moving job, Mr. McDonald.
Which would cost the library $60 or $70. Well, that's a capital idea, Mrs. Whitney. Say that. Here they come now.
Good. Now, remember, not a word of my little stratagem.
Ah, hello, Mrs. Whitney. Well, if it ain't Wistful Vista's leading mortgage monger, old man McDonald. Hi, Matt.
Hello, McGee.
Ah, Mrs. Whitney, so nice of you to ask us over.
Good of you to come, I'm sure. Sit down here, won't you?
Delighted.
Won't you take a chair, Mr. McGee?
Well, now, do you think one of these spindly little guild affairs would take me, Mrs. W.?
McGee. Sit over there, dearie, with Mr. McDonald. So nice to see you here, Mr. McDonald.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, kind of unexpected, too, Mac. I thought you'd be busy down at the bank tonight. You know, with the examiners.
Examiners? Why, we're not expecting... Well, what makes
heard
you think...
the bank examiners dropped in to surprise you after closing tonight.
Oh, McGee, don't do...
I like to watch him turn pale. And I'm just kidding, Mac. Just a gag.
Yes, very amusing.
Sure. Them bank examiners will never find anything wrong with your bank, boy.
Most certainly not. Well, Mr. McDonald...
No, sir. They'll never get anything on old Mac. He's been at it too long.
McGee, stop it. Well, now that we're here, Mrs. Whitney, may I ask what's the occasion?
You might as well know, my dear. As you're aware, no doubt, Mr. McDonald and I are members of the Wistful Vista Library Board. And since we are moving to the new building soon, we're making plans for the open house, naturally.
Naturally.
We should like very much to have you, too, on the open house committee.
Well, now, isn't that nice, McGee?
Open house committee, huh? Say, I've had plenty of experience on open house committees. The Elks put me on theirs when they went into the new clubhouse we've got now.
Is that so, McGee? Then you know how it works, huh, do you?
I'll say. At the start, you figure it's going to be a nice job standing around greeting folks in the new building. Then you find it really means you got to do all the lugging and hauling and moving from the old place to the new one. And the library's got millions of books to carry.
Yes.
Wow. Let me sit down on one of them tired old antique chairs, Mrs. Whitney. On account of because I'm feeling tired and old and antique myself at the very thought of that job.
There's more fun with the McGee's shortly. Now, one of Hollywood's popular motion picture stars with a message for you.
This is Tony Curtis. On a recent cross-country tour, I met a great many people and felt the temper of this country. Aware of its dangers as we live in a state of prolonged international tension. Some of the people felt frustrated. Some of them felt only futility. But there was one segment of our population which made me proud to be an American. Those civilian volunteers, young and old, who make up the Ground Observer Corps. There are more than 370,000 of them in 36 states, and they are on constant vigil as a supplement to the radar warning network of our air defense system. Even with the challenge of jet speeds which an enemy would use to strike at us through the air, they stand guard, taking no chances. So, to every ground observer, Tony Curtis's thanks.
Become a GOC volunteer. For information, write or call your nearest Civil Defense Center. If you are teenage or up, you're eligible for service.
And now, if that is all the business for the evening, shall we adjourn?
Oh, that's nice.
All right, now. You will find a buffet in the dining room. I do hope you'll all enjoy it.
I'll enjoy your buffet if it's got some food on it.
It has.
Well, that's for me. Just the thought of all the work I've been roped into doing has got me hungry enough to eat an elephant.
Now, please take it easy, McGee.
Well, gee whiz.
Don't go showing the other guests how you and Fred Nittany used to juggle meatballs in vaudeville boarding houses.
You're picking on me, Molly. Gee whiz, so far I've been the very pinnacle of politeness.
So far, yes. I'll have to admit you've done very well. Oh, hello, Dr. Gamble.
Hiya, Molly. And that's all. Once he gets in that dining room, we might as well go home. The eating is over.
I thought I'd better get in there before you did, face stuffer. You'll go through that buffet like a plague of locusts.
Oh, now.
Get him. When he starts feeding both them faces of his, Molly, he packs it in like
Now stop it, the both of you. I've seen you both eat many times, remember? And furthermore, if there's a gentleman among you, he'll escort a starving lady to the food.
Oh, of course, Molly, I'm sorry. Take my arm, I'll be happy to...
Just a minute, you big masher. She's my wife. Take my arm, my dear. It's rather crowded in there, and I shall escort you.
My goodness, I'm overwhelmed.
Oh, hello, folks. Mrs. McGee, may I go bring you something to eat?
Mr. Wimple, that's the best offer I've had so far. You boys go ahead. I'll sit right down here.
I want to get another crack at those Swedish meatballs. And those little anchovies all curled up with the olive in their laps.
I'll be right back, kiddo.
Try to keep your sleeve out of the salad, McGee. And don't load your plate too high. Remember the last time?
What last time?
At the Toopses, when you loaded up so much Italian food, your plate looked like the Leaning Tower of Pizza.
Oh, Mr. McGee, more coffee.
Well, thanks, Mrs. Whitney. Mighty good jabber you got here, this is.
The coffee? Oh, yes. Especially imported from Brazil, you know.
Well, imagine that. And still warm, too. Oh, I tell you, modern transportation... Oh, excuse me. My wife is beckoning to me.
Mrs. Whitney, I wonder if you could direct me to the tomato ass pick.
Oh, why, yes, Mr. Wimple.
And if there are any more Swedish meatballs, I'd like...
You want to see me, kiddo? How am I doing?
Just fine, McGee. And I wanted to tell you how proud I am of you. You're behaving like a perfect gentleman.
Well, Natch, I can be just as sophisticated as anybody when I want to be. I'll do okay. You just watch my smoke.
It's one thing I wish you wouldn't do, smoke. Every time you light up one of those alfalfa coronas of yours, you flip the match on something combustible, sift ashes all over everything, and...
Oh, no, no, no. I'll be careful. You just watch. I've been saving this cigar till after I ate. And I've ate.
Now about the ashes that start shedding the minute
I shall merely sit here with my legs crossed, and as the ash forms, I will simply tap it into the cuff of my trousers.
Or even an ashtray if you don't have a trouser cuff handy. Well, anyhow, you're doing fine. Keep it up. And as soon as you finish the cigar, we should be starting...
I would really say that Mrs. Sludge is what you'd call a fishwife, because what fish would marry her?
Well, I don't know her, so I can't say. Well, it's time to go now. I can tell my husband has finished his cigar.
Oh?
Don't you worry, though, Mrs. Whitney. I warned him to be extra careful, and I know he has.
Well.
Here he comes. Oh, McGee, you ready to take me home now?
Ready, willing, and able, Mrs. McGee.
You've disposed of your cigar like a good boy?
I should say so. You needn't worry, Mrs. Whitney.
Oh, I wasn't worried. The grand piano's in the other room and everything.
Oh, I was careful as careful could be. Put the match in my coat pocket and the ashes in my trouser cuff. When I had enough, I crushed the cigar butt out real careful in that little round silver ashtray with a glass bottom. That one right there on the buffet.
Oh, isn't that...
Mm-hmm.
Silver ashtray?
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, good heavens, my beautiful buffet!
Mrs. Whitney, what's wrong?
Oh, that isn't a silver ashtray with a glass bottom. That's a napkin ring. Oh!
Catch her, McGee, catch her.
Imagine that.
We'll say goodnight to Fibber and Molly in a moment. This is John Wald with some advice to help you through those busy weekday hours. Stay tuned to NBC for the finest in daytime entertainment. Monday through Saturday mornings, for example, you'll hear Mary Margaret McBride, one of your favorite people for many years, in an informal program featuring items of interest to women everywhere, plus some entertaining and informative highlights designed to keep you up to date in this busy world of ours. Also in the morning, you'll find enjoyment with Second Chance, Strike It Rich, and The Phrase That Pays. Then in the afternoon, drama with your longtime friends like Just Plain Bill, Young Widder Brown, Stella Dallas, and Lorenzo Jones. And you're sure to like the delightfully different show Hotel for Pets, a new feature brought to you every weekday. And the unusual interview show called It Pays to Be Married, with popular Jay Stewart as Master of Ceremonies. All these and many more to brighten your morning and afternoon hours and speed the busy week on its way. Just keep tuned to NBC Radio.
What a terrible thing to happen, McGee. A $10,000 antique. Queen Elizabeth I owned that buffet at one time?
Oh, I couldn't help it, Molly. That napkin ring looked like an ashtray to me.
A cigar burned the size of a golf ball right square on top of it. Just awful.
I think you're taking this whole thing too hard, Molly, if you ask me. Matter of fact, I probably raised the value of that antique instead of hurting it any.
You what?
Why, certainly. You just watch. 5 or 10 years from now, old Lady Whitney will be showing that burn to people, and she'll be telling them that Sir Walter Raleigh done that with his first cigar.
Oh.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber, McGee, and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed, with Bill Thompson as Mr. Wimple and Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble. Mrs. Whitney is played by Gail Bunny and Mr. McDonald by Joseph Kearns. Well, tomorrow, McGee rehearses Teeny for her part in the school George Washington play. Need I say that it turns out somewhat different than anticipated? Hear it on this station tomorrow night.
Join the Great Gildersleeve for more fun in Summerfield tonight on the NBC Radio Network.